If you have a Bible, I wonder if you would open it with me to Acts chapter 3. And we're going to be reading the first 16 verses. We have, over the last few weeks, been working through a series, looking at our values as a church. And over the last few weeks, we've looked at things like, we want to be a church with Jesus at the center. We want to be a church that loves and obeys the word of God, the Bible. We want to be a church that honors and seeks the presence of God, so our lives are filled with the Holy Spirit's presence. And today we're going to be looking at, we want to be a church where people live naturally supernatural lives. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. But if you've got your Bible, we're going to read together from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. The words will also be up here on the screen. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who had been lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those who were going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw this man walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. You disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and the righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." So that's chapter 3. I'm just going to jump over to the beginning of chapter 4, just so you can see the result of this. It said, "The priests and the captain of the temple guards and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. That's awesome, isn't it? Let's just pray. Father, today we want to think about what it means to live naturally supernatural lives, Lord God. Father, to be men and women of your Spirit. Father, to be those who hear your voice, who walk daily in the power of the Holy Spirit, who show your glory on the earth and reveal to people what you are truly like. And today, Lord, I pray that something will happen in the hearts of every person in the hearing of your word, that faith will rise, that we will understand our identity and the authority you've given us to be your people on the earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I thought it'd be nice for you to see that story in video form. So we're just going to watch a short video clip which tells the story that we've just read. It's good to watch, isn't it? Was your heart stirred when you were watching that? Yeah, and even though it's dramatic retelling, it's retelling something that actually happened. And so it's beautiful, isn't it? Because God has compassion on people who are hurting and broken. And through his people, he still shows the same love and compassion. So this morning, I wanted to explain a little bit what I meant by living naturally supernatural lives. There was once a guy called John Wimber, and he He headed up what were known as the Vineyard churches. He died back in the 90s. But when he was first saved, he used to be the person who did the orchestration for the Righteous Brothers, you know, the pop band in the 60s. And he was well known in the music scene, and he got saved. He left a life of drugs and, you know, a lot of brokenness, and he left his music career behind, and he began to follow Jesus. And he voraciously read the Bible. And as he read the Bible, he was amazed at the Jesus that he was reading about and some of the miracles that he saw in the pages of Scripture. And he went to church one day. And on the way out, he says he spoke to a guy, and he had a badge on. He looked like he might know what he was talking about. And he went up to this guy and he said, "When do we get to do the stuff?" And the guy said, what do you mean, do the stuff? You know, the stuff in the Bible, the healings, the miracles, the salvation. When do we get to do the stuff?" And he says, "Oh, we don't do the stuff. We believe in the stuff. And we talk about the stuff. We have a theology around the stuff, but we don't actually do the stuff." And then John Wimber said, "What? I left drugs for this. I left music for this. When I belong to the devil, I got to do his stuff. Now that I belong to Jesus, I want to do his stuff." And sometimes as churches, we read about the stuff and we have a theology of the stuff, but we don't often have an experience of doing the stuff. And today, that's what I want to talk about, doing the stuff. I want us to talk about what it means to live supernaturally natural, or naturally supernatural lives, where we see the power and the presence of God manifest through his children on the earth. Does that make you excited? It makes me excited. So what does naturally supernatural mean? Well, let's go back to our passage in Acts chapter 3. Naturally supernatural, first of all, means seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. So in this passage in Acts chapter 3 from verse 1, it says, one day, just one day, not on a special day, not on a holiday, not on a religious day, just one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. So this was a regular thing for them, just one day they were going to the temple. And a man who was lame from birth, a man who didn't become lame, but was born lame. This is his normal condition. And it's also his normal position, because daily he was brought to the temple to beg. Now, think about that for a moment. Who else would have walked past this man into the temple courts? Jesus. The only way in through this temple into the courts was through this beautiful, magnificent gate built of Corinthian metals, and it was renowned throughout the world. Josephus, the early Jewish historian, wrote about how magnificent and ornate and how delicate the carvings were, and it was overlaid with these precious metals. And this was where this man had been laid. He wasn't there visiting. This was his daily occupation. His position was that he was a beggar in need of other people's help. In fact, the only way he could get there was to be carried, and he was left to beg for money from people who were going into worship. Great location, by the way, because as people are going into worship, of course, God is a God of justice and he's a God of mercy. And those who are going to worship him hopefully would be generous in the giving of alms, because it was required by the God that they served. But here he was, somebody that everybody had seen as they'd gone into worship on a regular basis. And how do you feel sometimes when you're walking through a city centre and there are the countless people who seem to be homeless or begging for money, and you sometimes walk past them feeling really guilty because you wish you could do more to help? And there are some people who give their lives to helping these people, but there would have been Jewish worshippers who would have walked past this man every day, perhaps would have given money to him out of compassion or even out of guilt, and then carried on to worship the God that they served. Every day they would have seen him. That's where he did his thing. And one day, just one day that this man had been there all of this time, but one day, on just a normal day, Peter and John came in to do what they had done on many, many occasions, but something was different this time. We're in chapter 3 of Acts, but in chapter 2 of Acts, the Holy Spirit had been poured out on his people. And so the church, that's me and you, by the way, those who were believers and followers of Jesus, and people who knew Jesus and people who had heard Jesus and people who had followed Jesus and even had the grace to be able to heal in Jesus' name, they experienced something that they had never experienced before as the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And no longer did they have to rely on the Holy Spirit being poured out and resting upon them, because now they had the Holy Spirit dwelling within them, and that changed everything. And so these people now had a different perspective on life. And when they came and they saw this guy, something stirred in them. And they reached out to him. And the exchange happened just on an ordinary day. And the thing that I wanted to emphasize, just as we read those few verses, is sometimes we think the Christian stuff, the religious stuff, what it means to be a Christian and to love one another and to see God do miraculous things, happens in the context of our Christian meetings. And yes, it does. God does amazing things when we gather together like this. There's an extraordinary grace for when we gather together like this, but it's not supposed to be contained to this. Do you know when Jesus said, listen, you guys are like the salt of the earth. That's nice, isn't it? But what he means by salt is sprinkled. And as we leave gatherings like this, we are still children of God. And all of the wonderful, extraordinary, even miraculous things that we see when we gather together like this should be commonplace in the ordinary, in the everyday. And sometimes we think about the grand gestures or the, you know, the big set pieces, the evangelistic meetings, and God's going to really use those. But there's something really remarkable that happens in the life of a believer when we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, that the ordinary and the everyday can become extraordinary. And so what I'm talking about is, you know, we have prophetic people in this church. And they bring words from God and they share what's on the heart of God with brothers and sisters. But what would happen if we unleashed the prophetic in the supermarket? What if you were standing at the till and you had a word of knowledge for the person sitting behind the counter? It happens here. Why not in the supermarket? Now, what I would counsel you is, if you did have a word from God for someone in the supermarket, that you don't just suddenly have a glory moment. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Ooh. Ho! All of that stuff. You don't have to do that. But if God is speaking to you, if God is communicating something of his heart to you for that person, just in ordinary language, as you would speak to any of your friends, just communicate what you believe God is saying. We've seen it happen. And what would happen if you were walking to one of the coffee shops that you like to frequent? And there was somebody sitting outside, obviously in distress, and sometimes, you know, and in distress, perhaps because of pain or some kind of disability, and you felt stirred by God to go and offer to pray for them. Yeah. Yeah. What would happen? I can tell you what would happen. The more we do that kind of things, the more miracles we're going to see on the streets of our town and in our families and in our friendships and in our neighborhoods. Because God is on the move, not just in church buildings, but in people's lives. And when we connect with him and are obedient to him, we connect with what he's doing in other people's lives, and then the grace flows. And so being naturally supernatural means seeing extraordinary in the ordinary. But being naturally supernatural also means being confident in our identity. So the next few verses. When this man, this beggar, saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. He said, and Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And Peter said, look at us. Look at us. He wanted to get this guy's attention. So I imagine that he wasn't looking at them. He was asking for money, probably like he did with most people, not expecting anybody to show him any kind of compassion or even speak to him as though he was a person, show him any dignity or honor, not treat him like he mattered. And so he was probably just reaching out his hand, hoping that somebody would throw some coins in there as they passed by to do the real thing, you know, the worship of God. And that, you know, by doing so, they would ease their conscience. But on this occasion, they came before him and they said, look at us. Look at us. And it's interesting, just the choice of words that Luke uses in this account. He said, so the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Of course, what he was expecting were coins. But what he got was something entirely different. Now, it just strikes me as I read this passage that John and Peter knew who they were. And they knew what they carried in God. There was a confidence and a boldness. There was something that they knew about what they could do that caused them to stop and engage with this man. He said, look at us. For many years as a Christian, I didn't understand who I was in Christ. I understood that he saved me, that he loved me, that he died on the cross for my sins. I understood that one day I would go to heaven, and between now and then, and I somehow had to get better and more holy, and you know, God would help me. But sometimes we can go through life and we can just have this kind of survival mode Christianity where we just get from one day to the other and go from one crisis to another, and we just say, Lord, please help me to survive. But Christianity should be so much more than that. And so what I have understood in recent years is that God has created me to reveal his glory on the earth. And I'll explain what that means. In Genesis, God walked with his children, Adam and Eve, those he had created in his image. By the way, when God created Adam and Eve, he looked at them and he said, yeah, that's good. That's good. And after, you know, the 6 days, he rested and he said, in effect, it is finished. This is good. I've done a good job of my creation. And so Adam and Eve, the pinnacle of his creation, those he fellowshipped, those who worshipped him, those who reflected his likeness and image and glory on the earth, he looked at them and he fellowshipped with them and they used to walk together in the garden. But then something happened and we know that there was disobedience, there was the fall, and the image of God was marred in Adam and Eve. They were born to reveal God's glory, but God's glory was marred in them. They were created in the image of God, but God's image was hidden in them because of sin. But then Jesus, Jesus came, and when he died on the cross, he became sin with our sinfulness, and we became righteous with his righteousness. And the Bible clearly says that when we come to Christ, we are born again. We're made brand new creations. And so if you think about that, that is remarkable. Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus, he said, listen, how do I get into the kingdom of God? How does one get into the kingdom of God? And Jesus said, listen, you don't understand. To get into the kingdom of God, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, what do you mean born again? Like get inside my mother's womb and be born again? He said, no. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. And so what happens when a person comes to Christ is that they are literally born again. They were born the first time in order to reveal the glory of God, but that glory of God has been marred. Therefore, we need to be born again. And when we're born again, we get given brand new hearts. That means that the glory of God can therefore be revealed again through our lives. The image of God is restored in our lives. And when we talk about sanctification, we're not talking about kind of becoming so sin conscious and so guilt conscious that every day we're thinking, oh no, woe is me, I'm a terrible person. We need to understand that we were created to be children of God, reflecting the image of God and revealing the glory of God. We are brand new creations. And so there's a couple of verses that are just absolutely stunning if we understand the depth and the enormity of what they're trying to communicate. If you've got your Bibles, please, would you open them to 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And it says this, this is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. I'm going to say that again. This is how love is made complete amongst us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. In this world, brothers and sisters, We are like Jesus. That has huge implications. So that means in your office, you are like Jesus. And in your families, you are like Jesus. When you're filling out your tax return, you are like Jesus. When you're balancing your books, you are like Jesus. When you're in relationship with someone, you are like Jesus. And when you speak words that make it seem to people you're speaking to that you are like Jesus. Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Often we don't feel very much like Jesus. And so we need to look a little bit more closely at this. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Somebody once described the book of Romans as like the Himalayas and chapter 8 of Romans as like Everest, Mount Everest. So if you've got your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about life in the Spirit. And in verse 18, he says, listen, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. And you know, even that promise for the future, there's a future glory that is awaiting us. It says, for the creation waits in eager anticipation, expectation for the children of God to be revealed. There's something about our identity as children of God that needs to be revealed in his creation. Because if you are a Christian here today, that means if you name the name of Jesus, if you're a follower of his, you are not like everyone else. There's something fundamentally different about us because we have the Spirit of God in us. We have been born again. We carry the image and the likeness of God. What was once damaged and marred and hidden has now been restored in Christ. That means that increasingly from glory unto glory, our lives will reveal Jesus because we are like him on the earth. You getting this? Come on, let's look at another verse. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. So Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now let me say this. Everything we need, we already have. Everything that God wants us to be, we potentially are. Let me say it another way. When we became Christians, seated with him in heavenly places, we were imbued with righteousness that wasn't our own. Jesus took our sin onto him and he died in our place, was punished for our sin. The wrath of God was poured out onto Jesus so that the wrath of God wouldn't be poured out onto us. And so if we are in Christ, he has borne our sin and taken our punishment so that we could be restored to become children of God. Now, what does that mean? That means that not only did he take our sin, but he gave us his righteousness. And everything that Jesus has now belongs to us. Remember the story of the prodigal son? And the prodigal son came home and the older brother got a little bit annoyed. And then the father said, listen, everything that is in this house, it belongs to you all the time. But you don't believe that and you don't live as though that's true. But the truth for us Christians is that everything that God has for us is ours. We don't have to beg him to bless us. It says that every spiritual blessing is already ours in Christ. We are children of God. And so here's the thing. When we're talking about living naturally supernatural and understanding our identity, is that we don't have to say, God, I beg you to fill me with your Spirit. His Spirit lives in us. We don't have to beg him to make us righteous because we are righteous with the righteousness of Christ. And as we become more like Jesus and live our lives for the glory of God, that righteousness will be manifest more and more and more. We don't have to beg God to do miracles and signs and wonders in our midst because he has created us to be like him on the earth. You know, we're not perfect, but he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And so being naturally supernatural means being confident in our identity. And so when Peter and John went up to this guy, this beggar, and they said, listen, Silver and gold, we don't have. We don't have that stuff. We're not materially rich. That's not what we can give to you today. But what we do have, we give to you now. Do you know what you have? Do you know what you have? As a Christian, do you know what you have in Christ? Do you know what's at your disposal? The riches of his glory and his glorious inheritance in the saints, his incomparably great power for those who believe. Do you know what you have as Christians? If you don't know what you have, you can't give it away. And so it might be for some of us today, and this will certainly have been the case for me in my life, and I'm not saying you don't give money as well, but I might well have passed by and done an act of kindness because that's the easy thing to do. I can do that in my flesh. I can do that with ease because if I have change in my pockets, I can give it away. I don't even have to give that money away from the right motive. But these guys didn't have money. They didn't have those kind of resources, but they knew what kind of resources they did have. And they'd seen Jesus do this stuff. And they knew that they'd done it themselves. And so there was a confidence in who they were and what they carried when they came to this man. And so what I would say to us all today is the way that we get to know who God says we are isn't by, you know, listening to this and that podcast. It's not by, you know, listening to that this or that person. It's not by, you know, going to this and that bookshop or going online. It's going to the Bible. Go to the Bible. The Bible will tell you who God is and who you are in him. If you don't know who you are or who he says you are, I'll give you some passages of scripture that you can take home and meditate on. You know, if you've got a pen, write them down right now, the ones we've just read out. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, Ephesians 1, verse 3, Romans 8, verse 19. And let's discover who God says we are so that we know what we have, so that when we meet those people who are in need, we can give them what we know that we have. So being confident in our identity. But being naturally supernatural also means understanding authority. Do you know, I'm a daddy and my son's not in the room. Good. I have authority as a daddy in my home. I also have authority as a pastor in this church. I have authority in different spheres of my life. But I need to understand how authority works, because if I don't have authority, I can't operate in authority. So I can't operate in authority in Giles's marriage. I can't operate in authority in the Brexit negotiations. I can't operate in authority when I see somebody disobeying a teacher. I can't operate. I can operate as a citizen, but I can't operate in authority because those aren't my spheres of authority. So we need to understand how authority works and what authority we have. And so when Peter and John came to this guy, understanding that everything that they had in Christ, it said that Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus, walk." And so the authority that they knew they had wasn't their own authority. It was Jesus' authority. And later on in the passage in verse 15, when he's explaining what's happened, he says, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed this man. And so this is the thing. As a human being, as Damien Carr, I have no authority in and of myself to do anything that's miraculous or life-changing. I have no authority in and of myself. The authority that I have is Jesus' authority. And that means that if I go in his name, I can represent him and do the things that he would have me do. The authority that I have doesn't come from me. It doesn't originate from me. It comes from him. And therefore, when I go, I have authority. Now, when Jesus was going back to heaven and was explaining to his disciples the scope of the Great Commission, this is what he said. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus said about himself. All authority has been given to me. Therefore, go. In my name, to do the things that I have been doing. Baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. teach people to obey everything that I have commanded you, and surely I'm with you even to the end of the age. And he said, listen, the authority that you go with is not your own, but all authority has been given to me, therefore go in my name. And so when people are sent from the British government to negotiate a Brexit deal, they don't go, you know, I don't know the, you know, any of the negotiators' names. Let's say Fred Smith was going to represent the UK government. Now, Fred Smith, you know, he might be an amazing negotiator, and he would rock up into the rooms and say, listen, I've got some great ideas about how all of this would work, and nobody would listen to him because he had no authority. He wasn't speaking on behalf of anybody, just saying his own good ideas. But when he walks in the room with the authority of the British government behind him, suddenly everything he says has authority, it has significance, it has power. And similarly, when we walk into a room and we speak on our own behalf, or, you know, if we walk into the room and we think we've got good ideas, if it's just us, it means nothing. It's not backed up with any authority or any power. But when we come in the name of Jesus, we come with all authority and all power, because it's not ours, it's his. And so they were well able to go to this guy and say, listen, I've got nothing to give you. I've got nothing of myself to give you. I've got no money. I've got no ideas. I've walked past you lots of times. I've got nothing. But in the name of Jesus, walk. That was the difference. And so they understood that the extraordinary could be discovered in ordinary situations, the everyday things. They understood that they understood their identity, who God had said that they were. They understood authority, that they weren't going in their own name with their own power, their own authority, but in the name of Jesus with his power and with his authority. And then being naturally supernatural means when we see this stuff happening, the eyes are opened to the reality of God. This is what happened, verse 9. When all of the people saw this man walking and praising God, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. Listen, there are situations in our lives which we've just got used to. There are situations in our town, there are situations in our nation that we've just got used to. That's just the way things are. But sometimes God will create in us a holy discontent. That's how I'm feeling at the moment, church. A holy discontent that we can't do business as usual. We can't just do same old, same old. We can't just try things that we've tried before that didn't work and continue doing them hoping they will. There has to be something that changes. And on this day, something changed in the heart of Peter and John as they saw this guy. And it said that when this guy was healed, when he was jumping and walking and praising God, they recognized this man who had been sitting at the temple gate all of those years. They recognized him. And this is what they said. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while the man was still holding on to Peter and John, it said all the people were astonished. Oh, wow. When people see the reality of God manifest through our lives, the power, when we lay our hands on the sick, the authority, when we speak, the extravagant and lavish love as it pours forth from our hearts after our hearts have been filled with God's love. As people see God's glory manifest through our lives, their hearts will be open to God's reality. And some of those words there, wonder, amazement, astonishment. Are people looking at the church today in wonder and astonishment and amazement? Are they looking at us today and being actually amazed at what God is doing in our midst? Or are they getting what they expect? A little bit of religion that tickles our ears and, you know, keeps our hearts kind of in a good place so that morally we're good people and we come on a Sunday and we sit in chairs and we go to groups and we read books. Is that the extent of our Christianity? That's not amazing to people. That's not astonishing to people. That's not showing people the reality of God's love and his presence and his power in our midst. Fortunately, I look at you. And, you know, I've had a phone call in the last couple of weeks. I'm not going to embarrass the person, but they're sitting in this room today. They picked up the phone and they said, listen, can I borrow some jumpstart cables? Because somebody's car's broke down. I said, oh, okay. You know, what happened? They said, well, this is a funny story. Somebody came to church who needed some help. And I thought maybe, you know, they needed a job and maybe I could get in touch with another couple in church who run a business. They might be able to help. And so they put them in touch with these people. They thought, well, they come from this nation and there are some other people from that nation in the church. So I might hook them up because they might be able to give some insights. And that's what happened. But the person they spoke to here said, well, listen, there's actually a person from a similar kind of situation over here. Why don't you speak to them? And so they spoke to them. And when they picked up the phone to this person, it turns out that they'd just broken down in Kettering. And so he was now phoning to get some jump leads to arrange for someone else to go and pick them up. And I was just thinking, that's church. That's church. And we don't get to hear about stuff like that. We don't get to hear about the extraordinary acts of love and kindness that just go under the radar. We don't get to hear about that stuff, but it's happening all the time. And I am absolutely delighted when I look out across the church and just see expressions of love and evidence of the grace of God in people's lives. But when, as a church, we begin to expect God to move in miraculous ways, when we begin to step out in faith and believe that God is going to manifest his presence through his people, when we go not in our own authority, but in the authority of Almighty God, and when we understand our identity and that we are allowed to do this stuff, that we have been called to do this stuff and actually created to do this stuff, then we understand that we're not just Christians, we're not just church attenders, we're not just pew fillers, we are world changers, we're society transformers, we're the ones who get to bring the good news in a way that will transform a person's life and allow them to enter from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and have an eternal security and an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade. We get to be the ones who do this stuff. And so there was wonder and amazement and astonishment. Lord, bring a sense of holy fear on your people. Let us understand who you truly are and the enormity and the extent of the call of God on our church and on your people in this land. Lord, may your presence be so manifest through our lives, Lord God, that people will be in wonder and astonishment and in awe at your amazing reality. So as we become naturally supernatural Christians, eyes are opened to God's reality. And then carrying on in this passage, being naturally supernatural also means that doors will be opened for the gospel. So when Peter saw this, he said to them, listen, fellow Israelites, so basically a crowd had now gathered. This man who everybody knew, who they had walked past on many occasions, was now jumping around and praising God. Wow, my legs are working. It was incredible. It was instant. It was miraculous. It was undeniable. And so the evidence of God's glory was dancing around before the people and a crowd gathered. And then Peter preached the gospel message. He says, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, the God of our fathers has glorified his servant Jesus. It's Jesus who's done this in your midst. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. And later on in chapter 4, it says that people became believers that day. And whereas in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added to their number, it said that there were now around 5,000 men, plus women and children, who were now following Jesus. And so people were seeing the evidence of God's reality in his people as it was manifest in signs and wonders and miracles and through the preaching of the gospel, and disciples of Jesus were being made. That's the next point. Naturally supernatural lives means that disciples of Jesus will be made. And I want to go to a final screen up here. And there are some verbs from this passage talking about this man's experience, this beggar. And so we see this transition in this man's life from being carried, where he saw, where he asked, and then he walked, and then he jumped, and then he praised. This is a transformed life. Transformed lives transform lives. And when our lives are transformed by Jesus, we are agents of transformation in his hands. And what he wants to do on the earth through his children, he can do as we yield and submit our lives to him. We're not just religious Christians, we're those who have been born again. We are image carriers of Almighty God. We are the ones who reveal the glory of God on the earth through our lives. We are the ones who increasingly, day by day, become more like Jesus and live out the reality that is already fully established because of what Jesus accomplished for us on the cross. We are who he says we are. We don't often feel like it. But day by day, from glory into glory, we are being transformed into the likeness of Jesus to become the people who he says we already are. That is tremendous. So I want to show you a little video to close with, which just really sums up what I'm talking about. There's a guy called Tom Loud in America. He takes a little GoPro camera out and about, and he just prays for people. He believes God for healing. And he'll pray for people. Sometimes they don't get healed, and you know, we leave those things in God's hands, and we believe there's a mystery to that, and God will even work out his purposes through that. But he believes that God heals today, and he has seen it happen so many times that there's just a confidence when he prays. He understands that he carries something in the Lord, and he has something that he can give away. And so he met this kid, this broken kid, in a car park, a multi-story car park, and this is how the story unfolds.
So Pastor Tom here with this young man. What's your name?
My name is Bobby.
Bobby. And Bobby, I asked you if you have pain in your body, and you said you do.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, so where's the pain, Bobby?
My feet.
Your feet?
My lower legs and my feet.
Your lower legs also, huh?
Yeah.
Do you know what causes pain?
I think it's just because the last few weeks have been pretty rough for me, and I've been doing a lot of walking, and I think my feet are just... I'm just like really sore right now.
Okay, all right. So I'm going to pray for you and take all the pain away.
Okay.
Okay? Now, what will you think if that happens? That'd be pretty miraculous, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to tell you why that's going to happen. It's going to happen because even if you don't know him, Jesus loves you. He wants to take your pain away. That's what he does, okay?
Okay.
All right, so I'm not even going to touch you. I'm going to point at your legs, okay?
Okay.
All right. So I want you just to relax, Bobby. Okay. And I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for Bobby. And right now, I speak to Bobby's feet and his legs, and I command all the pain get out right now, all of it.
Wow.
What are you feeling, Bobby? What are you feeling?
Well, I don't feel the pain right now.
Move around, test it out.
Yeah, I was just limping. 10 seconds ago, I was limping and I could barely walk.
And now you can walk.
Yeah, I feel like I could run probably right now.
You feel you could run?
Yeah.
And you have no pain?
No, actually, I really don't feel the pain at all anymore.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that awesome?
That's insane.
That's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's because Jesus loves you, Bobby, even if you don't know him. Okay?
Wow.
Now, I won't twist your arm because I don't do that kind of stuff, okay? But Jesus wants to be part of your life. He wants to come into you. He wants to save you. He wants to make you a brand new person. Would you be interested in having Jesus come into your heart?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Here, let's just stand over here out of the way.
Right.
Yeah. You can change your whole eternity in a matter of a minute here. All right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask you to just follow along with me in prayer. You just repeat after me, all right?
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I know I need the Savior.
And I know I need the Savior.
And I believe Jesus is the Savior.
And I believe Jesus is the Savior.
So Jesus.
So Jesus.
Right now.
Right now.
I repent for my sins.
I repent for my sins.
And I ask you to forgive me for my sins.
I ask you to forgive me for my sins.
And I ask you to come into my heart right now.
And I ask you to come into my heart right now.
And be the Lord of my life.
And be the Lord of my life.
I give you my whole life right now.
I give you my whole life right now.
And I live my life for you.
And I live my life for you.
Thank you for saving me right now.
Thank you for saving me right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And you know what, Bobby?
Amen.
Bobby, Jesus just came into your heart right now.
Yeah.
And he's filling you with something. It's just light. It's just peace. It's love. Because he loves you, man. He really loves you. He loves you more than anybody's ever loved you.
Yeah.
And he wants to give you a brand new start. He wants to give you a brand new life. What's that feel like, man?
It feels real.
It is real. Do you feel the difference right now? You feel lighter? What do you feel like? What's it feel like?
I almost feel like a new person.
You are a new person. See, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says that if you accept Jesus, right, it says that old things, everything to do with you in the past, passes away, and everything becomes brand new. Brand new. You're a brand new person, Bobby. You're a brand new person. Now, all you need to do, man, it's kind of like if I gave you a seed, brand new seed for this wonderful plant that you plant in your garden. All you got to do now is water it.
Yeah.
See? So the way you water it is by reading the Word of God and praying. Praying means talking to Jesus. It doesn't mean you have to have fancy words. You just talk to him as a friend. You ask him to help you. Yeah? So I gave you my card.
Yeah, you do.
And I'd be glad to help you in your spiritual walk.
Cool.
Okay?
All right,
so,
man.
So you need me to help you? Just give me a call. I'd love to help you, okay?
Right on.
But start talking to God daily, okay? He's going to change everything for you, all right, man?
I will.
God bless you.
Can
I give you a hug?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, man.
Isn't that awesome? That's what it looks like. That's a 21st century version of what we just read in the scriptures. So this guy was in desperate need, not just his physical need, but there was stuff going on in his life. And he met with somebody who believed this stuff. He believed that God could heal today, and he understood who he was and the authority that he carried. And with gently, naturally, without any religious sounding words, without any jargon, he prayed for this guy, and this guy was healed. His heart was opened. He shared the gospel. This guy was led to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then declared, without having ever read the Bible, that he felt like a brand new person. This is what it looks like. And there's one verse that I'd like to just draw your attention to before we pray. It's in Acts chapter 3, verse 15. Sorry, no, it's not. Verse 15. It says, "It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him." And I just want to emphasize that word, faith. When we believe him, when we believe him, when we believe who he is, when we believe what he says, when we stand on his promises and step out on his word, when we have faith, when that faith grows in our lives and we see him do miraculous things and then believe him for even more, that faith perhaps will grow in our midst as a church, but we need faith as a church. We need to believe that what he says is true. And to live naturally supernatural lives, we believe that we have more than we have experienced, and we can do more than we have done, and we have more at our disposal than we realize. There is more power and there is more authority, and it's all ours in Christ. Everything that we need to do the work of Jesus, he has supplied. And so we're going to pray right now. I wonder if you're sick or if you have pain in your body, would you stand to your feet? We're going to do something. We're just going to step out. We're going to take a risk this morning. And if you would like to be prayed for, we would love to pray for you. I once had the great privilege. Debbie Harvey and her twin boys came to the front here. And once Debbie Harvey was in a lot of pain, her two knees, it was unbearable, excruciating. She was crying and she said, "Would you pray for me?" And I said, "Listen, I'm not going to pray for you this morning. Your boys are going to pray for you." And I taught them how to pray. And I said, "Listen, sometimes we just need to do what Jesus did and talk to the pain as though it was a naughty little dog. And command it to stop barking." And so I said, "I just want you to lay your hands on mummy's knee. And I want you to tell this pain to go. Because it's Jesus who will heal her. And you're Jesus' children." So they prayed. They laid their hands on mummy's knee and they prayed. And they said, "Pain, go now." And then Debbie started crying. And she got up to her knees and all of the pain had gone. And so we've seen things like that happen again and again in the life of the church. And those are the things that we're going to see happen more and more. But we're going to practice this today, church. I don't want your long religious sounding prayers. I want you, with the faith that you have, I want you to go to the person, introduce yourself, and ask them their name if you don't know them. Ask them how you can pray, and then I want you to exercise the authority you have. Jesus could speak to demons and they would flee. He could speak to pain and it would go. In his name, not in our name, with his authority, not with our authority. We're going to do the same today, okay? So I want you to be brave. Get out of your chair. Walk across the room. Visit one of these people. And quickly, doesn't have to be long religious prayers. You don't have to pad it out with lots of description. Just go to these people right now. Ask them how to pray and then pray. Command the pain to go. And if you're sitting and you're looking on, why don't you pray for these people as they step out in faith this morning? Just pray. Pray that God will do a miracle in some of these people's lives. So for those looking on, I want you to just worship Jesus now. Don't become an audience. Don't become spectators. We're here to worship the Lord. And let's just worship him together now. Just focus the gaze of your heart on him. Don't worry about what's going on around you. Some people here today will be experiencing the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Some people might begin to cry, or some people might begin to laugh. That's okay. That's normal in the presence of God. Might be after you've prayed for somebody, that just like with the man who was sitting there on the steps going into the temple, that they said, listen, now stand up and walk. And he had to stand to his feet before he realized that he could walk. And it might be for some people today, you just have to do something. Maybe like you've been prayed for your shoulder, maybe you have to move your shoulder to realize that God's done something significant in your shoulder. Wrap things up because we're running out of time, but I just want to pray for us as a church that this wouldn't just be a Sunday experience, but that something will be unleashed as we realize who God says we are and what we carry in him. And that when we're out and about, when we're with our families or in the supermarket or in our workplaces, that we will be listening to the Holy Spirit as he prompts us. And if he asks us to do something, even though it might be scary, even though it might take us stepping out of the boat and potentially sinking, that we're going to do what he asks us to do so that we see his glory revealed through our lives. So, Father, I thank you for every person here. Thank you for everyone here who's a Christian, that your spirit lives in them. Father, they have no lack on your side. Father, they have all of the resources of heaven at their disposal. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that what they believe about you will line up with what is true about you. And, Father, what they believe about themselves, Lord God, will line up with what you say is true about them. And, Father, they will understand the authority that they have in the name of Jesus. And, Father, that you will fill our hearts so full of you, so full of your love and compassion and your kindness, Lord God, that when we see lives that are broken around us, Father, we won't be able to hold back. Father, we won't be able to be passive. We won't be able to be onlookers, Father. We might say, we haven't got silver and gold. We haven't got what you're asking for. But what we do have, we give to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, Lord God, that we will be a church of people living naturally supernatural lives, Lord God, in the course of our everyday lives. That will be unleashed now in the name of Jesus. Father, that we will be more than we think we are. Father, we will step out, Father, into the fullness of everything you have for us. Lord God, that the church, Lord God, will just experience more of your power and your presence, but the world, Father, will be amazed, Father, and find the things that are happening in our midst extraordinary, because your glory is being manifest through your people and the sons of God are being revealed in the earth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.